time do we usually stop for prayer requests? All right, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 3. I don't want to go too long. I believe that was the message that God had for us. Thank you for that, David. It helped me. Thank God for second chances. If it was, if it came down to God not using you for mistakes, none of us in here would ever be used again.
Amen.
And I thank God that he picks us up when we're down, brushes us off, forgives us of our sins, and gives us a second chance. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5. I'm going to try to go quickly. Verse number 5 is something that we all know, something most of us could probably even quote. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Dear Heavenly Father, God, I need you now, Lord. I cannot do this on my own, Lord. I pray that you please forgive me for my sins that would hinder this, God. I pray that you empty me of all selfishness and pride, Lord. And I pray you please speak through me, God. I need you, Lord. Your church needs you. And I pray that I wouldn't hurt anybody, but I pray I help them. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would please move, Lord. And God, fill my lips of clay, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter number 3 here, as I was saying, this is something that we all know and something we can quote. And I trust this is the Wednesday night crowd. And so it's my hope that most of you guys have lived this verse by now. I would call this verse Christian 101. This is the basics. This is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. So what that means to me is it's my hope and my prayer that the Wednesday night group, when you guys go home and watch TV, you're acknowledging the Lord and that it's okay with him, what you're watching. It's my hope that when you get dressed in the morning, you're acknowledging the Lord and it's okay with what you're wearing. It's my hope that when you get in your car and turn on your radio, you're acknowledging the Lord and it's okay with what you're listening to. That is Christian 101. Can I say that? If you're not past that and you've been saved for years, there's something wrong and you need to get into the Word of God, you need to pray, and you need to start getting a hold of God and seeking him, because it's just taking too long. That's Christian 101. I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but that's just something we should be past. But what happens is all of us, we just love our flesh too much.
Right.
What happens is we want what we want way too much. That part about trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, we go in all thy ways we acknowledge us. And we want to do what we want to do. And we want to live life the way we want to live. And I see this verse kind of contrary to man's logic and to man's thinking. Because what this verse is saying, I kind of want to put a different spin on it and preach on something different. But what we do is we put ourselves in a comfort zone. And we won't want to do anything that's outside of our comfort zone. We have a kind of a repetition or something that we do daily. We've kind of built ourselves a nice little home spiritually of this is where we're comfortable, so this is what we're going to do, and you never move past that comfort zone. You never want to do something different. You never want to go forward or take another step. And I like what David said in the beginning, that Jacob had a dream. He had a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's true. You need a vision, but not only do you need a vision, you need to act upon that vision. You don't need just to see. Man, I hope the church is going to be thriving in 30 years. How about you do something to make sure that the church is thriving in 30 years? You need to take the steps to do it. And so I see this verse, and it's contrary to man's logic, because what we do is we have our own hand in our life, and we want us to guide our life and us to, this is my plans and this is what I see myself doing in 5 years. But this verse is saying, throw all that out the window and let God lead your life. Throw all that out the window and let him make the plans for your life. And this takes you out of your comfort zone, because what you're now doing is you're saying, all right, God, I'm not in control of my life anymore. God, I have no idea what holds tomorrow, but at least I know your hand's in it. And God, you please take care of me, lead me, guide me. And that takes you out of your comfort zone, because we don't like that. That's our flesh, man. You get terrified and scared because you're thinking, man, what if it doesn't pull through? What if something goes wrong? What if I don't make it? What you have to realize is you serve a pretty big God who has you in his hand. And if you would just trust him and acknowledge him in every aspect of your life, you realize he'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And so just for a couple minutes, I don't want to go too long. I want to preach on getting out of your comfort zone. One thing, if you look at Luke chapter number 19, I'm going to try to read a couple scripture here. I believe the Bible can say a whole lot more than I can ever say.
Amen.
So Luke chapter number 19, look at verse number 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God for verse number 10, that Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. By the way, that's us. We're in that category. And thank God we got saved. And so the first thing I want to say is God used you getting out of your comfort zone in salvation. The very first step of Christianity is getting saved and being born again. And God used you have to step out of your comfort zone just to get saved. And so why do we think that you won't have to step out of your comfort zone for the rest of your Christian life? The very first part of it is stepping out of your comfort zone. Think about it. Here you have Zacchaeus. This is a perfect illustration of salvation. He's a publican and a sinner. And a publican at that time was someone who was a Jew that worked for the Roman government. So he was already looked at as a traitor, kind of. He was looked at as, man, you're not one of us. You work for them. And he would go and collecting money. But not only would he do that, what he would do is he would collect the money that was owed to Caesar. But then he would take some money on the side and put that in his pocket. And he would keep extra money to make a living on his own. And so people knew that, and they would think, man, I hate this guy. This guy is the reason that I can't eat tomorrow because he took more money than he was supposed to. He stole from me. I can't stand him. So think about this publican. I imagine Zacchaeus, he probably had a nice home. He was probably a wealthy man, but I bet you all his free time was spent in his home. Why? He couldn't go out in public too much. Everyone who knew him hated him. Every time he went out, someone would look at him and give him that dirty look or maybe even say something because they were so furious that he stole from them. Imagine if someone came in here and took money from each and every one of you and then decided to come to church the next day. I don't think you'd be very happy if you saw him. And that's Zacchaeus. Every time I imagine that he went into public, that was out of his comfort zone. Why? Nobody wanted to see him there. They hated him. Not only that, not only was he out of his comfort zone because of his occupation, he was out of his comfort zone because of his stature. Here it says he was little of stature. I kind of imagine Zacchaeus with little man syndrome. He's got that little guy mentality, and because he was short growing up, I wonder if he became a publican just to take the money from the people who made fun of him in high school. Like, all right, you want to say I'm short? I'm taking your money. All right, and so that's how I imagine it. But so he's short here, and so people, I imagine, made fun of him his whole life. People, and he probably was very self-conscious about that, didn't like getting made fun of. But here, something that overcame the fact that he wanted to be comfortable. And listen, America loves to be comfortable. I told Eric, the best job to be in is heating and air. Why? Because someone will pay no matter how bad the economy is, no matter what's going on. They want to be comfortable in the winter, and they want to be comfortable in the summer. If it's too hot, they will pay to get their air fixed. And so we want to be comfortable. I don't like being uncomfortable, but here, his wanting to be comfortable was outweighed by the fact that he wanted to see the Savior. He said, I'll do whatever it takes to get near Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. He said, I'll go to this crowd that I know. They'll look at me. They'll hate me. They'll despise me. But then not only that, will they hate me because of my occupation? He goes, man, I can't even see him. Everybody's in front of me. They're too tall. The crowd's too much. I can't see the Lord. He said, I've heard him say that this is the Christ. I've heard him say that this is the Messiah. And I can't even see him. And I imagine that's when he saw that sycamore tree. And I bet you his flesh was saying, man, they're just going to point and laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you because you're already short. Now they're going to be climbing in a tree. Come on, Zacchaeus. I can't do that. Everyone's going to see me. I'm already bringing too much attention to myself as it is. But you know what happened that day? His flesh lost, and he said, you know what? I don't care. I don't care who makes fun of me. I don't care what they say about me. I need to see the Savior. And he did whatever it took. He climbed that tree. He stepped out of his comfort zone. And you know what Jesus Christ ends up saying a few verses later? Salvation has come to thy house. You know why? Because he stepped out of his comfort zone. He did whatever it took to see Jesus Christ. And if anybody else made fun of him, guess what? Jesus wasn't. Jesus saw it and said, I'm coming to eat in your house. I'm going to be where you're at. Man, can we do something? You got to step out of your comfort zone to get where Jesus is at. And if you do, if you take that first step, he may just draw near to you. And he'll say, I want to be where you're at. I'll dwell with you in your house. I'll live with where you're at if you'll just take the first step. And so here you have salvation, taking that step out of comfort zone out for salvation. I remember at 5 years old, I made a profession of faith. And 5 years later, at 10 years old, I remember my flesh, I had gotten convicted about my salvation. I knew I was lost and on my way to hell. But my flesh was telling me, man, if I get saved, people are going to think I've been lying for the last 5 years. If I get saved, man, people are going to make fun of me. Of course, no one was going to, but my flesh thought that. My flesh was telling me, the devil was telling me, hey, don't do anything. Listen, you got saved when you're five. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about that gut feeling that you're lost and on your way to hell. You don't want anybody saying anything about it. Yeah. But thank God, my flesh didn't win that day. Amen. And I said, I need to get saved. I don't care what anybody says. And so you have to make that step. Listen, your flesh does not like being told that it's wrong. Your flesh does not like being told that it's not a good person. Yeah. And those are the exact things it takes to get saved. Amen. You have to realize that you're lost and on your way to hell, and that your good works are not going to get you anywhere. Amen. And so it's a complete contrary to our beliefs that we are a good person, but you have to step out of your comfort zone. And so God has us do that in salvation. And so I believe he has to do it for the rest of our life. In Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 22, let's turn there quickly. I'm trying to get done as fast as possible. Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 22. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can I tell you, if there's a storm happening, I mean, I'm in the middle of the sea and waves are crashing and there's wind stronger than I've ever seen before, lightning, thunder, all of it going on, my first thought is not to jump out of the boat. I'm going to want to stay in the boat. I feel like maybe I could still die. The boat might capsize. Something might happen. But I think my percentage of survival is probably a little bit better on the boat. You might just be able to wait it out and the storm could stop if you just stay on the boat. But here, Peter, you know what he says? I'm pretty comfortable on the boat, but I want to step out and be where Jesus is. All of this connects. If you want to get closer to God, you got to get out of your comfort zone. If you want to be where he is, you cannot stay in the ship that you have created for your life. Here, Peter is saying, he was a professional fisherman. Listen, he had probably been in some storms before and survived them. This may have been pretty bad, but maybe in his head he's thinking, all right, I got to, you know, get some extra weight off the ship. I got to make sure everybody's on the sails, and then we all just get into the bottom of the ship and stay there, make sure there's no water. He probably knew how to survive it if worse came to worse. But instead, in his flesh, thinking, man, I should probably stay here. Do you realize that in the storm, there is no comfortable spot in the storm? Amen. You're going to be scared no matter what. But you still need to step out of your comfort zone. You still need to get out of the ship. Why? Because he looked at Jesus on the waves and he went, man, those waves look pretty high. Man, that storm's pretty bad, but Jesus isn't on this boat. He's out there. Yeah. And it's a whole lot safer next to him than it is in this boat. He said, I want to be where he's at. So even in the storm, you need to step out of your comfort zone. When everything looks bad and you have no idea what's going to happen in your life and you feel like, man, the waves are just crushing me. I need to stay in my boat. I need to stay as safe as possible. God may be saying, come unto me. Amen. Listen, I'm on the water. It does look rough out here and it looks scary, but being next to me is a whole lot better than being in that boat. So even in your storms, you need to step out of your comfort zone. But so what happens is we just want to be comfortable. We don't want to do anything extra. We don't want to do anything that causes us pain or sorrow. We just want to live life the easiest that we can. But that's not the victorious Christian life. Yeah. That's just getting by. God says, step out. Step out and step out of your comfort zone. Do something that you're not comfortable with, and God will bless it because that's where God is. But you stepped out for salvation. You step out in the storm. And then lastly, in Luke chapter number 7, verses 36 and 38. You guys can turn there and read it. I'm going to go ahead and just tell the story because I feel like I'm running out of time. I don't want to keep you guys too late. But here you have Mary, and she's there. Jesus is in Bethany, and she's going to Simon the Pharisee's house. And while he's there, it says a woman who is a sinner, and we find out in one of the other Gospels that this is Mary. And she comes with the alabaster box, and you know the whole story of how she breaks that and anoints his feet and washes it with her hair and kisses his feet and all that stuff. And we see that thing, and I began to read that story when I was in the Gospel of Luke in my daily Bible reading. And God showed me something that I just never connected. And it shows where it says, he went to Simon the Pharisee's house. Now, a Pharisee is someone who hates sinners. A Pharisee is someone who destroys everyone else around him so that he can feel good about him. He wants everyone else to look bad, so when they look at him, he looks pretty good. And that's what Simon was. He was a Pharisee. He was someone who openly would have hated someone like Mary and would have said something about it. In fact, when she comes, he's even murmuring, saying, man, if Jesus knew who she was. He was a Pharisee. He couldn't stand her. And Mary knew that. You know, Mary could have done this at any other point in her life. You realize she could have waited till Jesus was alone. Maybe she could have been like, you know what? Maybe I'll get a woman at the well experience. And I'll just wait till he's by himself, and then I'll go talk to him, and then I can break the alabaster box, and nobody will judge me then. She's like, maybe I'll wait for the synagogue, when he's teaching in the synagogue, and sure, there'll still be some Pharisees there, but maybe there's some better people there that won't judge me as much, and it'll be a little bit more comfortable. But you know what she needed? She needed to step out and surrender. She said, man, I just got to give God everything. Yeah. This is all I have. This is the most expensive thing I have, and I want God to have it. Why? Because she believed what Jesus Christ had said. You know why? Because in Matthew chapter number, I believe it's 26, he says she's doing this for my burial. How did Mary know about the burial? She listened to what he said, unlike the disciples. The disciples heard him say it time and time again, didn't realize he was going to die. But Mary heard it and believed it and said, I need to do something about that. And she wanted to worship him. This was true, sincere worship. And she got out of her comfort zone to do it. It says right in the beginning, when you worship, you'll realize who you are. It says, a woman, a sinner. When you worship God, you feel pretty vile. Amen. You feel pretty dirty when you're in the presence of an almighty, holy God. Yeah. And when you worship, sincere, true worship with all your heart, you know what you're realizing? I'm nothing. Yeah. God, I am so wicked. I'm so vile. I'm so disgusting. All I am is a sinner. But thank you for being who you are. Amen. Thank you for being so mighty and so wonderful and so perfect and so holy. Mary realized what she was in the presence of the Lord, and she didn't care who was watching. It was his house. She went into a Pharisee's private home to do this. She could have got thrown out right at the sight of her, but she didn't care. She said, I need to get to where the Savior is. I need to be where Jesus is. And to do that, she had to step out of her comfort zone. And she went. She believed what Jesus said. She realized what she was. And at the very end of that whole thing, Jesus looks at Simon and tells him this parable about a creditor. And says, Simon, who do you think loved more? I believe it is when you forgave one a little, forgave another much. I'm sorry, I wish I should have read it. But talking about forgiving much, and Simon says, the one who you forgave much, that's who would love him more. And he says, you know, rightly, you have rightly judged. And what he's talking about is Mary was forgiven of so much sin. Mary was forgiven of everything she's ever done, and she realized how bad she was before an almighty God. And she said, God, I just want to worship you because you forgave me. I think it's a good enough reason to worship God, don't you? Amen. But you know what's sad? I've been coming back here for about 2 years, and I've still seen people never go to the altar and worship the Lord. Never raise their hand. Never shout. And I would wonder, why are they not doing it? What is it different? And I thought, maybe they don't realize how much of a sinner they were. Maybe they've forgotten how wicked and vile and the pit that they were in that God pulled them out of. Mary didn't. Mary knew how much she had gotten forgiven, and she said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to surrender everything and give it to Jesus Christ. But what we do is we won't even come to an altar after a preacher preaches an amazing message because we forget how bad we were. Sometimes, I'm not saying you have to go always just to repent. I believe you should do that 100%. But sometimes you need to go just to worship the Lord. Thank him for being so good to you and come to this altar. I'm not saying there's anything magical about standing up and coming to an altar. But there is something about it that your flesh doesn't like it, so you probably should just do it. And by the way, teenagers and some adults, you don't have to come to the altar only when other people do. It doesn't need to be a giant group of people that come to the altar every time you come to the altar. This is a place where you personally get a hold of God. And it's okay to come by yourself and get a hold of a holy God. And you don't need someone praying over you. You don't need someone dragging you. It needs to be between you and God. You say, God, I want to get right with you. And come to an altar. Amen. I'm not against praying with people and things like that if God wants you to do that. But sometimes I feel like people only go because someone dragged them. Or people only go because, oh, well, all the teen girls went, so I'll jump in on that group. You need to go on your own sometimes and just say, God, it's me and you. And I need to get things right with you. Mary did that. Why? Because she knew how bad she was. And she sincerely worshipped him. It was completely uncomfortable for her to do that. But she wanted to get where God was, so what did she do? She stepped out of her comfort zone. If you want to get where God is, you're going to have to get uncomfortable. You're going to have to do something you didn't want to do. But you'll get closer to the Savior, and isn't that worth it? Amen. Listen, you want to get closer to God? Tell somebody about Him. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Witnessing gets you closer to God. Don't worry about Him. It gets you closer to where He's at. It makes you have better fellowship with the Father. You have to get closer. But listen, my last thing, I'm going to close with this. Don't be Simon. Simon the Pharisee, you know what he was saying? She's unclean. You know what we find out in Matthew? He's Simon the leper. Yeah. An unclean person was telling someone else they're unclean. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of church people. Yeah. Sounds like me. Yeah. I'll just be honest. Sounds like Michael Shane sometimes. Because somebody will get behind this pulpit, and I'm like, what are they doing here? And then God goes, you're just a leper. Yeah. And I go, yep, you're right, Lord. What am I doing behind this pulpit? Somebody gets up here and gives a testimony, and I go, what are they doing here? God goes, you're just a leper. I go, yep, you're right, Lord. I don't deserve to be up here. Don't be Simon. Be Mary. Amen. Get out of your comfort zone and just worship the Lord. Yep. It's okay to shout. It's okay to praise God. He did something for you. Tell everybody else about it. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for loving me in spite of me. And I pray that you just please help this message. Thank you for David's message, God. Thank you for encouraging my heart and touching my heart. And I pray you help Faith Baptist Church to get a vision, but not only get a vision, I pray that they would step up and try to act on that vision. And God, I thank you and I love you. Be with the rest of the night. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.